Hello, this is Mike, and it's good to be with you again. Welcome to the Didcot, Abingdon and Wantage Talking Newspaper Dawn, recorded on a very hot and sticky 8th of July 2026. As usual, you'll hear a number of news items from local sources, and we hope you enjoy them. We also bring you extra items from the RNIB magazine service at the end of the recording. So today you will hear readings from Lauren, Irene, Tony and me. Ken's our technician, and in the office we have Alison and Paul. Ken has also compiled the items from the RNIB magazine service, so we're doubly grateful to him. So we start this week with news of the welcome reopening of a fine old pub.
Hello, this is Lauren. Village pub welcoming customers after repairs. A historic village pub has reopened following the completion of roof repairs. The North Star in Steventon, near Abingdon, closed in September for renovation work and reopened earlier this month. Manager Kerry Terrell welcomed customers from the village and surrounding area at a busy reopening celebration. The Campaign for Real Ale, White Horse Branch, shared the pub's Facebook post, which said, "A huge thank you to everyone who came along to the North Star tonight for our opening evening. I'm overwhelmed with the outstanding support from you all and what amazing community spirit. I'm so pleased you all had a lovely evening and the weather was kind to us. A huge thank you to everyone who has helped me out recently and to all the wonderful local tradesmen to get the pub looking fabulous." The Campaign for Real Ale Oxford branch has researched the history of the pub. It said, despite appearing in the news for being partially demolished on New Year's Day in 2003 and being closed during restoration, the North Star remains one of Oxfordshire's finest pubs. Standing on the causeway, it is one of a series of 17th century half-timbered houses and buildings, fully deserving its Grade II listed status. It has been in the hands of the same family over a long period of time. The North Star has barely a bar as such, merely a servery from the beer store to the tiny low-ceiling public and lounge bars, the former with impressive high-back seating surrounding the fireplace. Another room, not served by the bar, is also available, as are benches in the connecting corridor, now reopened after renovations. There are two pubs in Steventon High Street, the Cherry Tree and the Fox Inn. In 2003, the North Star's owner, at the time, a local farmer, drove a JCB into the side of the pub after bar staff refused to serve him early on New Year's Day as they were closing. Customers still drinking in the Grade 2 listed pub were forced to flee as the ceiling and walls collapsed. No one was hurt, but several suffered shock.
Hello, this is Irene. Rail staff hauled 250-ton steam locomotive by hand. The 25-ton steam locomotive has been pulled by hand by a team of rail workers. 16 colleagues from Alstom's depot at Great Western Railway's Reading depot completed the challenge at Didcot Railway Centre, pulling the historic number 1340 Trojan, a steam engine built in 1897, along a 250-metre stretch of track. The group covered a total distance of 1,500 metres in an hour as part of the challenge, cheered on by visitors at the Oxfordshire Museum and raising £1,500 for Variety, the children's charity. Shay McCarthy, project supply chain leader at Alstom and the organiser of the event, said, "Hauling a 25-ton steam locomotive by hand was a huge achievement and a brilliant day for everyone involved. We've brought together colleagues, partners and the public to support Variety, and that's something we are really proud of." Mr. McCarthy said, "It started as a simple idea in the office, wondering whether we could actually move a locomotive ourselves, and quickly grew into something much bigger. In the lead-up, the team trained together, building the same trust and coordination we rely on every day in the depot. That shared effort is what made it possible, and it's even more rewarding knowing we've done it for such an important cause." Alstom, a major player in the British rail industry for two centuries, is the UK's leading supplier of new trains and train services, with 63% of UK's installed train fleet supplied by the company. At the Reading depot, Alstom provides technical support and spare parts for the Class 387 trains used by Heathrow Express and Great Western Railway. The steam locomotive involved in the Challenge number 1340 Trojan was built by the Avonside Engine Company in Bristol and spent most of its working life on dock lines in Wales under the Great Western Railway. It was retired in 1968 and later preserved at the Didcot Railway Centre, re-entering services in 2002 and once more following an overhaul in 2021. The fundraising effort exceeded its initial target of £1,000, and the team hopes to raise further donations in the coming weeks.
Hello, this is Tony. Inquest hears worker died after forklift truck crash. A warehouse worker died after he was involved in a collision with a forklift truck, inquest documents show. Kakpa Zulk, 23, worked as a warehouse operative at Hachette UK Distribution Centre in Milton Road, between Milton and Didcot, and was involved in a workplace incident when he died on January the 20th. An inquest into how, when, where and why Mr. Zulk died was opened at Oxfordshire Coroner's Court earlier this year. The inquest's opening said, Mr. Zulk was involved in a collision between two industrial vehicles on January the 20th at a warehouse in Didcot. Sadly, his injuries were deemed unsurvivable at the scene and death was verified the same day. A police investigation is ongoing into the circumstances of Mr. Zulk's death. A post-mortem examination has been carried out with final cause of death pending further analysis. Mr. Zulk's family identified him to a police officer at the John Radcliffe Hospital mortuary 10 days after his death on January the 30th. On July the 2nd, a hearing suspended the investigation into his death pending the outcome of Police and Health Safety Executive HSE investigations. Assistant Coroner Nicholas Graham said, the brief circumstances are that Mr. Zulk sustained an injury at work. He was a forklift truck driver and was involved in a collision with another forklift truck in a warehouse. The resulting collision resulted in his death. I'm aware that there is a parallel investigation into the circumstances of this workplace accident, which is currently being actively conducted by the police and the Health and Safety Executive. I'm satisfied that it is entirely appropriate, reasonable, and fair to exercise my discretion to suspend this investigation at this stage, to allow those authorities to conclude their inquiries without duplication of effort. Accordingly, I suspend the investigation and adjourn the inquest. There will be regular reviews and further liaison with the police and the Health and Safety Executive. Thames Valley Police previously arrested a 21-year-old man from Wallingford on suspicion of gross negligence manslaughter. The force has confirmed the investigation is ongoing and that the man has now been released under investigation. A spokeswoman from Hachette previously said, our deepest condolences are with their family and friends who are in our thoughts at this devastating time. The incident is under police investigation. We are fully cooperating and working with the emergency services. We are doing everything we can to support the family, our staff, and all those impacted. We ask that the privacy of those most closely affected be respected at this distressing time.
Lots of all blue badge spaces. Unbelievable. The pedestrianisation of Wantage Town Centre has been slammed as egregious by disabled blue badge holders. Now, I don't know about you, but I wasn't entirely sure what egregious meant, so I looked it up, and it means extremely bad in a very noticeable way. So the article continues. Oxfordshire County Council's Wantage Improvement Project for its marketplace has been criticised as being discriminatory against disabled residents. County Council is asking for feedback on its proposals, which include removing car parking spaces from the area, making more space for markets and events, and new and improved bus stops. Set to be delivered in two parts, the scheme is not yet fully funded, with the current consultation open until today. Dave Gill is a long-time Wantage resident who is disabled due to multiple sclerosis. He also volunteers at the Vale Community Impact Advice Centre, assisting people with blue badge applications. While he agreed that the cobbles should be removed, he's criticised the possibility of the area being removed, making it increasingly difficult for disabled people. He said, "I understand how difficult it can be already to come to the office in Marketplace, particularly if you have to walk from car parks at the supermarkets or at the Beacon. The pedestrian areas in Wantage are already difficult for people with walking and balance issues. If using walking sticks, walkers or non-electric wheelchairs, this challenge will only get worse." Fiona Asserson, who lives on Chain Hill, is disabled and holds a blue badge. She's against the plans, branding them egregious, that word again. She raised her concerns during the previous consultation, but says no account was taken in formulating the final proposal, as every blue badge space has been removed in the plans. She said, "Although I have a mobility scooter, I'm very aware of the difficulties faced by those who are blue badge holders and who walk with a stick. Under this plan, all the blue badge spaces in the marketplace will be taken away," she said. "By definition, anyone with blue badge cannot walk more than 50 metres. So if a blue badge holder wants to use the shops in the marketplace, the only place they can park is in the marketplace. There are not enough blue badge spaces at the moment, and it's often a struggle to find an available space so as to reduce the number, let alone remove them, is unbelievable." While she understands the desire to improve the centre, she says the costs to the community are just way too high and out of proportion. She added, "This proposal to remove the existing blue badge spaces is outrageous and discriminatory."
Town turns pink for breast cancer cause. Abingdon turned pink to show support for the charity against breast cancer. The marketplace was packed with people visiting stalls and watching bands. There were a series of performances throughout the day as fundraisers shook buckets to bring in donations from shoppers. Abingdon Rock Choir kicked off last weekend's event, followed by performances from Let's Be Active, Belly Dancers, Abbey Brass Band, Strawberry Fair Majorettes, Mr. Hemmings, Morris Dancers, Ashna Belly Dancers, Fiona's Poetry, AA Dance Academy and the Undercovers. The Against Breast Cancer charity is based in the town and has been organising annual fundraising events for many years. It is dedicated to funding groundbreaking UK research to stop secondary spread breast cancer from claiming lives. Shops in the town supported the Paint Abingdon Pink event by decorating and dressing their windows pink. Against Breast Cancer CEO Bernadette Jones said, "It's fantastic to see so much support from people in the town, from all the bands and performers, and from the Paint Abingdon Pink support group."
Calls for urgent safety review after bike crash. An urgent safety review has been demanded after a fatal motorbike crash in Oxfordshire. The incident occurred on June the 23rd on the B4507 at the junction of Dragon Hill Road and Broadway Road in Uffington. A petition has been launched urging the County Council to make changes on the road before another life is lost. Campaigners argue safety is a cause for concern, as overgrown hedges, deteriorating carriageway condition, the current road layout and approach speeds remain a threat to drivers and passengers. The road also includes a pronounced dip, which many drivers accelerate to get out of before suddenly approaching a junction. The council is being urged to assess the road layout, review the speed limit, introduce a hedgerow maintenance plan, carry out surveys and a detailed inspection, and review whether advance warning of the junction might be helpful for drivers. The campaign also urges the council to publish previous road safety audits, traffic surveys, collision history and carriageway condition reports and previous speed limit reviews relating to the section of the B4507. A black Citroen C1 was involved in the collision with the white KTM RC 125 motorbike. Thames Valley Police said the motorcyclist, a 32-year-old man, died at the scene. Neither the driver nor the two Citroen passengers were injured, and no arrests have been made, and the police are appealing for witnesses to the collision.
Up to 14 fire engines called to tackle a huge field fire. Smoke was sent billowing into the sky as 14 fire engines responded to a large field blaze in South Oxfordshire. Emergency services raced to Aston Tyrrell near Cholsey at around 1:30 p.m. on Monday. The large field fire was described as very bad by onlookers as a dark plume of smoke was seen filling the air. Crews worked to put out the fast-moving fire, which is estimated to have affected around 100 acres. Residents living nearby were told to keep doors and windows closed if in range of the smoke. Electricity was cut off, causing unplanned power cuts. Scottish and Southern Electricity Network said that it had to isolate power due to safety concerns on its network in the area. Engineers arrived on the scene at around 5 p.m. on Monday to fix the unplanned power cut affecting 537 properties in the OX11 and OX10 areas. The company said at the time, we have had to isolate your power due to a safety concern on our network. Where possible, we will always try to keep the power on. However, there are situations like this where we need to isolate the power to keep people safe. There is no concern for safety at your property. However, there is an isolated issue elsewhere that our teams need to make safe before they can turn your power back on. The cause of the blaze was unknown at the time of going to press.
Underrated village has quintessential charm. Dorchester has been named among England's most underrated spots by travel site Love Exploring. It said, England is filled with pretty towns and villages, each with its own unique charm, and while it's easy to be drawn to the more well-known destinations, this often means overlooking hidden gems. To help you discover these lesser-known treasures, we've selected and ranked what, in our opinion, are the most under-the-radar delights from each of England's 39 historic counties. Dorchester-on-Thames, ranking in 22nd place, was the only spot in Oxfordshire to be included. Love Exploring says the village exudes quintessential English charm. It adds, the 12th century abbey and its accompanying museums are the village's major attractions. There's also a biannual arts festival which happens in and around the abbey. Another major draw is the lovely surrounding countryside, which inspired J.M.W. Turner's painting Union of the Thames and Isis. Venture up Cynodon Hills, known as Whitnam Clumps, for marvellous views over the village. Or take a stroll to nearby Clifton Hamden, or the delightfully tranquil Hurst Water Meadow. The village's website says, our charming historic village sits at the confluence of the rivers Tame and Thames, just 9 miles south of Oxford. You might recognise Dorchester on Thames from the ITV series Midsummer Murders, as it was used as a filming location.
Multi-storey to shut for maintenance. A multi-storey car park in Abingdon will be temporarily closed for works, despite multiple floors of the facility already having been shut for years due to safety issues. Charter multi-storey car park in Abingdon's Broad Street was shut for 2 days later this month due to essential maintenance works, the District Council has announced. Vale of Whitehorse District Council said the works would require the full closure of the car park from 6 p.m. on Saturday, July the 18th, until 8 a.m. on Monday, July the 20th. A statement from the council said, if you're visiting Abingdon and planning to park there, please note that the charter multi-storey car park will be closed from 6 p.m. on Saturday, July the 18th, until 8 a.m. on Monday, July the 20th, while we carry out essential maintenance work. We apologise for any inconvenience. Please visit our website for details of alternative car parks. Drivers hoping to use the charter car park have already been facing long-running disruption, as levels 3 and above have been closed for several years. This is due to concerns regarding structural issues and fire safety. A statement on the council website says, we've carried out work on the lower levels to ensure they are safe. However, further assessment work is required to review the upper levels.
A new EV hub offers ultra-rapid charging. A new electric vehicle charging hub has opened, offering the fastest public charging in the area. The 8-bay facility is located at the Courtyard by Marriott, Oxford South, just off the A34 at Milton Gate. It offers 300 kW chargers capable of delivering significant range in just a few minutes. Deepa Chamreskaran, Managing Director at Source, said, our Abingdon hub brings the fastest public charging in the area to a fantastic location. Whether you're a business traveller staying at the hotel, a commuter on the A34, or a local resident, you can now charge at speed that it fits around your schedule. Developed by Source, the hub is part of the company's goal to deliver 300 ultra-rapid charging hubs across the UK and Ireland over the next 5 years. The site is powered by renewable energy and uses infrastructure from SSE. Technology from Total Energies is also incorporated to provide environmental benefits. The chargers are faster than typical rapid chargers and offers easy access for drivers travelling in either direction on the A34. While charging, users can visit nearby amenities such as the Oxen Bar and Grill, Miller and Carter and Costa. The hub also offers contactless payments and around-the-clock customer support.
Primary school wins Smile Silver Award. A primary school has been recognised for its efforts to improve children's dental health and well-being. John Blandy Primary School in Abingdon has earned the Smile Silver Accreditation for Oral Health, which celebrates its work to promote good oral hygiene and healthy habits among pupils. The award reflects a school-wide approach to raising awareness of dental care, including lessons on toothbrushing, healthy eating, and the importance of regular dental checkups. Susan Elliott, head teacher at John Blandy Primary School, said, we are incredibly proud to have achieved the Smile Silver Accreditation for Oral Health. This award reflects the enthusiasm of our pupils, the dedication of our staff, and the support of our families. Developing healthy habits from an early age is an important part of children's well-being, and we are pleased that our whole school approach to oral health has been recognised.
Smokehouse revamp is making progress. Construction work is progressing well at a new chain restaurant near Abingdon. New signs have gone up at the former Bystander pub in Wootton, where contractors are converting the pub into a hickory smokehouse. Earlier this year, the southern-style barbecue restaurant chain announced the Bystander pub in Wootton near Abingdon, run by Green King, is to become the home of one of its new restaurants. New business is expected to create 100 new jobs, and vacancies are being advertised for chefs with a salary of up to £40,000 for a senior sous chef, £36 for a sous chef, and £33,000 for a junior sous chef. Construction work is now well underway, and it's understood that the restaurant could be ready to open in September. Pub shut in April for refurbishment, but no precise opening date has yet been revealed. However, contractors working on site in Bethlesley Road said they expected the new venue to be open early in September. One worker said, "Pub building needs to have wooden cladding all round it. That's the style for Hickory Smokehouse. All their buildings look like that." The chain has been recruiting staff, and a recent advert for a senior sous chef said, "We're looking for a senior sous chef to join our passionate brigade of barbecue enthusiasts." Okay. So we've got some notice board stuff now.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
You're live. You're on.
So we move on now to the notice board section. I don't have any details of any birthdays this week, but sadly there are a number of deaths. They are as follows. Roy Fiddler, who was 81. John Edward Jones, who was 91. Michael Lay, who was 86. And Barbara Williamson, who was 83. As ever, our thoughts and our prayers go out to all of those who are grieving at this time. I'd like to remind you about the My Vision charity, which supports visually impaired and blind people across Oxfordshire. I checked the website earlier today, and there are events for the Abingdon Walking Group, the Didcot Walking Group, the Wantage Social Group, and there's also a pub social in Wantage over the next weeks. If you're interested in any of those, what I suggest you do is check out the website or get someone to do it for you for details of those activities. And just to remind you, the web address is www.myvision.org.uk. So the final bit of the notice board section is the On This Day section. So on this day in 1497, Vasco da Gama, that famous Portuguese navigator, set out from Lisbon in search of a sea route to India. On this day in 1822, Percy Bysshe Shelley, the English poet, drowned in Italy while sailing his schooner Ariel. On this day in 1882, the rather eccentric composer Percy Grainger was born in Melbourne, Australia. And on this day in 1918, national savings stamps went on sale in the UK. This day in 1961, we're in the middle of Wimbledon now, and it was the first All England Women's Singles Final at Wimbledon. 1961 that was. I wonder if you can remember who it was between. Well, it was between Christine Truman and Angela Mortimer. Remember them? And it was Angela Mortimer who won in three sets. And finally, in 1965... on this day, Ronald Biggs, the great train robber, scaled the wall of Wandsworth Prison with a rope ladder and escaped. He was only 15 months into his sentence. Eventually, he settled in Brazil. And further than that, eventually, he returned to the UK and set up a flower stall in Waterloo Station, or near Waterloo Station, because I saw him there and bought some flowers from him. OK, so we now continue with an update on the roadworks at Lodge Hill in Abingdon.
Disruption warning as A34 junction is shut for work. Drivers are being alerted to major changes at the A34 Lodge Hill junction near Abingdon, where a £36 million improvement scheme is being completed. Oxfordshire County Council is working with contractors to create the new interchange for drivers at the junction north of Abingdon, and the project is expected to be completed by the end of the year. There have been a series of alterations as a result of the work, and drivers are now being alerted to the latest major hold-up. A section of the A4183 Oxford Road between Sugwood Lane and the southbound off slip was closed overnight on Monday for surfacing works. A lengthy closure of the southbound off slip closure also began this week and will last for about 4 weeks. A county council spokeswoman said the southbound off slip from the A34 will be closed for a period of approximately 4 weeks. The closure will be in place 24 hours a day, 7 days a week during this period. The closure will facilitate the construction and tie-in of the existing slip road to the new south roundabout. No designated diversion route is in place, as this may cause congestion to one location. Instead, additional signage has been placed along the A34 southbound, informing of the off-slip closure. Vehicles wishing to access Abingdon North or Sunningwell should use the Hinksey Hill interchange. To access Abingdon Town Centre, vehicles should use the Marcham Junction. Two-way temporary traffic lights will also be placed on a short section of the A4183 on the approach to the southbound off slip. The lights will be operational 24 hours a day. The project has moved into its latest operational phase and is due for completion later this year.
Early outdoor pool sessions are selling out. Abingdon's open air pool has been selling out its daily swimming sessions since it opened for the summer season. Abbey Meadows outdoor pool opened on June the 18th on a weather dependent programme and has been busy ever since. Shortly after its return, the pool was fully booked from Tuesday to Saturday, with three of those days being sold out before it was open as people booked online. Vale of Whitehorse District Council leisure provider Better UK had initially planned to open the site on July the 18th, in line with the school summer holidays, but town residents called for it to be open earlier in the summer to take advantage of the hot weather. Hinksey Pool in Oxford usually opens in April or May. A spokesperson for the Vale of Whitehorse District Council said we open Abbey Meadows outdoor pool for its most popular time of the year, the summer holidays, and the season runs through to early September when the schools return. Like last year, Better UK, which manages the site for the council, has made the decision to trial weather-dependent opening in the run-up to the usual start of the season in late July. Last year, the pool was opened in mid-June at weekends and during the week if the weather was good. This was at no additional cost to the council. Better is operating under the same principles this year. Running an outdoor pool carries a substantial operational and maintenance cost. Across the county, many councils are facing such difficult financial situations that means they're unable to open their pools at all. The spokesperson added that a further financial factor to the opening times was the pool's proximity in the River Thames, near the River Thames. She said the associated risk of seasonal flooding during that late spring means that our insurers support opening times of late May at the earliest, as this represents a time when flood risks are at their lowest rate. We continue to work with Better on this popular site, which last year saw record visitors of 30,000, and a similar approach will be made this year depending on the weather. The splash pad opened as usual from Saturday, May the 23rd, ahead of the half-term break, and will be open every day until the start of September when the summer season comes to an end. The kiosk also opened on the 23rd of May for weekends only until the start of the pool season, and will then also be open every day that the pool is open. Among those who have enjoyed a swim in the sunshine are civic leaders, including local councillors.
Partnership over fusion energy work. A new transatlantic partnership has been launched in the race to deliver fusion energy. The United Kingdom Atomic Energy Authority, UKAEA, and the United States Department of Energy's Princeton Plasma Physics Laboratory, PPPL, have signed a Memorandum of Understanding to deepen collaboration in fusion science and technology. This move is designed to advance the development of sustainable and commercial fusion energy and follows the King's recent address to the US Congress in Washington, D.C., where he emphasised the importance of new UK-US partnerships in fusion. The Memorandum of Understanding includes plans for staff exchanges, joint research projects, and shared access to key research facilities. Fulvio Militello, Executive Director of Plasma Science and Fusion Operations at UKAEA, said, UKAEA has decades of expertise operating world-leading fusion facilities and solving complex fusion challenges. Our mission is to leverage this expertise through international partnerships to deliver sustainable fusion energy. This agreement with PPPL confirms the positive working relationship between the US and UK fusion communities. We look forward to combining our expertise to help solve some of fusion's toughest challenges. Collaboration will also extend to advanced computing, information sharing, and collaboration on ITER diagnostics. Laura Berzak-Hopkins, Associate Laboratory Director for Strategy and Partnerships and Deputy Chief Research Officer at PPPL, said, PPPL and UKAEA have each led groundbreaking flagship fusion experiments. This strategic partnership allows us to unite our capabilities and deliver on our shared mission of bringing fusion from the lab to the grid. It is through global partnerships like this that PPPL amplifies its impact and pushes the boundaries of fusion science. UKAEA is the UK's national fusion energy research organisation and operates under the Department for Energy Security and Net Zero.
Former Formula One mechanic, back for Williams Heritage Centre tour. A former Formula One mechanic has revisited the world of motorsport after a long and storied career. Alan Challis, now a resident of Sanctuary Care's Wantage Residential and Nursing Home, visited the Williams F1 Heritage Centre in Grove. The visit followed outreach by the care home team after they uncovered his extensive motorsport background. Mr. Challis began his career in the late 1950s and worked with top teams including BRM, Lotus and Williams. He eventually rose to become chief mechanic during one of Williams' most successful periods in Formula One. During the Grove visit, Mr. Challis was reunited with the last car he worked on before retiring, the FW13/13B from 1990. He shared stories from his time in racing, recalling a career that began as a BRM apprentice in the era of front-engined Formula One cars. By the age of 21, he was travelling internationally with race teams, including during Graham Hill's 1962 World Championship winning season. Mr. Challis became one of the sport's most respected mechanics and later served as car build manager at Williams. He was also known for mentoring and inspiring many colleagues throughout his career. Mr. Challis now lives at the Wantage Residential and Nursing Home, a not-for-profit sanctuary care facility. I should say that there are a number of lovely photos of Mr. Challis, one with him next to his celebrated car, and one, an old flashback to when they used to stand on the racetrack with messages for their riders, drivers as they flashed past.
Mental health nurse Leanne hailed in King's Honours List. A nurse has been recognised in the King's Birthday Honours for her dedication to perinatal mental health. Leanne Howlett, a specialist perinatal mental health nurse at Oxford Health NHS Foundation Trust, has been awarded the British Empire Medal, BEM, for services to health visiting. The honour acknowledges her work in supporting women and families affected by moderate to severe mental illness during pregnancy and up to 1 year after birth. Ms. Howlett said, "I feel extremely privileged to have been awarded a British Empire Medal in the King's Birthday Honours. The work I do is born from my passion for dedication to supporting parents with their mental health. Her role involves assessment, treatment and ongoing support to help parents manage their mental health and strengthen relationships within the family. Ms. Howlett became a mental health nurse after experiencing perinatal mental illness following the birth of her two children. She is now a national advocate, working with organisations such as the Anna Freud Centre and the Maternal Mental Health Alliance to influence policy and raise awareness. Part of Ms. Howlett's BEM citation recognised her efforts to highlight the critical role of health visitors in identifying and supporting families with perinatal needs.
Union flag policy gets a new update. The Union flag will continue to be flown by the County Council despite its ban on raising national flags on lampposts. Oxford County Council came under scrutiny after it successfully won an injunction against members of the Raise the Colours group to stop from flying flags on public infrastructure. It had received criticism from some, but the council argues the group has been intimidating, being confrontational and harassing towards the staff who take them down. Small amendments that are being looked at in the flag flying protocol include flying the flag at half-mast when Oxford City councillors die, as well as county councillors, as at present. Susanna Wintersgill, Director of Public Affairs and Policy, told a meeting that if another country was in conflict and County Hall wanted to recognise that, but it was politically sensitive, then a white flag would be flown as advised by legal services. But Conservative councillor Thomas Ashby suggested the white flag, a symbol of surrender, should not be flown. This was backed by cabinet member Neil Fawcett. Throughout the whole year, with some exceptions, the Union flag will be flown from County Hall. People can request that certain flags are flown from the New Road offices, but the Director of Law and Governance, Monitoring Office, Officer and Chair of the Council has the discretion to authorise it.
Village Pub launches a new trail for drinkers. A pub in South Oxfordshire has launched a new series of trails and walks for drinkers. The George at Upton near Didcot is owned by Ben Amos and Chris Smith, who took over the pub about 18 months ago. They have made a series of major improvements, and the pub, popular for its pizzas, Sunday roasts and other dishes, has a 5-star food hygiene rating. In a new initiative for customers, new walking trails are on offer for drinkers who want to combine a walk with a visit to a pub. General Manager Mary Gaylor said, "Alongside great food, overseen by head chef Dean Joseph, we're always looking for ways to encourage people to visit, while promoting healthy and sustainable habits. One initiative we're particularly excited about is Walk the Line, a scenic walk from Didcot to the pub that follows the historic railway line. We're also developing a walking route linking us with our sister pub, The Crown, in Chiltern. The idea is to create a fun safari lunch experience where guests can enjoy a main course at one venue and dessert at the other, with a small reward available for those who discover the clue hidden along the 45-minute route."
Reading Shed opens with author visit, and watch out for an author with an appropriate name. Primary School has launched a new Reading Shed space to inspire a lifelong love of books. Wantage Primary School celebrated the Reading Shed project with a visit from children's author Camilla Reed, who officially opened the shed. Located between Key Stage 1 and Key Stage 2 playgrounds, the reading shed will give children access to books throughout the school day. Andy Brown, head teacher, said, "The reading shed is about opening up opportunities for every child to enjoy books whenever inspiration strikes. We want reading to be at the heart of school life and are hugely grateful to our PTA for helping bring this vision to life. The shed will also be available to families who can borrow books to read at home. During the launch, Ms. Reed read her new book, I Am Ready for School, to children preparing to start reception in September. She said, sharing books and stories at home has a powerful effect on children's development and it sets them up to thrive in school. But the most important thing of all is that it forges the bond between parent and child, and it's this that gives kids the solid foundations of confidence and security from which everything else flows. I'm delighted to be asked to open the reading shed. It's a brilliant initiative and has the potential to be life-changing for families. The book, illustrated by Kate Hindley, is dedicated to the school. It's designed to introduce children to daily routines and simple skills needed for the classroom. It includes practical advice for parents and carers. Ms. Reed said, the book has some top tips for grown-ups too. So my hope is that families will share the book together over the summer and that they'll feel absolutely ready for school by September. Her inspiration for writing the book came from ongoing concerns about school readiness, especially since the pandemic. Copies of the book are available at Wantage Bookshop and throughout local libraries. Camilla Reed will host a virtual event on July the 11th.
Aim to create safer streets. Local partners are continuing to work together to address concerns about antisocial behaviour. Demi from Vale of Whitehorse District Council's Community Safety Team joined PCSO Jennifer Holt of Thames Valley Police, South Oxon and Vale during a visit to Abingdon on Friday. They visited places in Abingdon where concerns about antisocial behaviour have been reported, including Abbey Meadows, West Hen Street and the Charter. Together they looked at what improvements and actions could help address residents' concerns, also speaking with staff and members of the public.
Charity wins award for outstanding work. A boating charity has received an award for its outstanding work supporting people with disabilities. The Wallingford Accessible Boat Club, the WABC, was named highly commended in the Volunteer Organisation of the Year award scheme by Oxfordshire Community and Volunteering Action. John Jenkins, MBE, chairman of the boat club, said, "I am fortunate to have been involved with organisations entirely dependent on the efforts of volunteers for over 50 years. It has never ceased to amaze me just how much they contribute so willingly to the cause, whatever it may be. The boat club and its remarkable team of volunteers, now numbering over 60 individuals, are a wonderful example of volunteering at its very best, and we are all very proud."
New hydrogen truck joins fleet. A new road maintenance vehicle is helping to drive down emissions. The 3.5-ton highways truck, now in use by Oxfordshire County Council, is a dual-fuel vehicle running on both hydrogen and hydro-treated vegetable oil, HVO. It has been retrofitted by hydrogen technology company Ulemco and is part of the council's efforts to explore cleaner transport solutions as part of Oxfordshire County Council's plan to reach net zero by 2030.
Cyclists are gearing up for an epic 300-kilometre ride from Paris to London in full Taylor Swift-themed fancy dress. The challenge is in support of Rory, a 7-year-old girl from Appleton in Oxfordshire who has spent the past 20 months battling stage 5 Wilms tumour, affecting both kidneys and spreading to both lungs. 11 riders, including friends and family members, will pedal from the Arc de Triomphe to Marble Arch in just 24 hours, raising funds for Oxford Hospital's charity. The challenge named Ride for Rory has already raised more than £46,000. And I should say that the article is accompanied by a lovely picture of a smiling Rory playing the guitar. So that was the last item of news for this week, and I'd like to thank the Herald and other local sources for the items I've used, and thank all our volunteers for their time. So thank you for listening, and we do hope you're managing to cope with the heat, if it's still hot when you get to listen to this. It's always nice at the end of a recording like this to save time for a smile, and I bring you an AI generated joke which goes like this. I told my doctor that I broke my arm in two places. He told me to stop going to those places. There you go. So wherever you are, however you are, please take care, stay cool and stay safe. And bye-bye until next time.